भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो
भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Canto 3, Chapter 11. We'll cover texts 34 through 39. The chapter is entitled Calculation of Time from the Atom. And we've been hearing some pretty amazing things about the units of time as the time it takes for the sun to cross one atom as the smallest unit, because the description is that the atom is the smallest unit of matter, indivisible. And then increments going up. Called Mahakala, or the Great Time. The Great Time is the creation. But then the Vedic picture takes us beyond that. There's the resting period, and then again creation, and then the resting period, and then again creation. So, units smaller, up to larger, larger, larger. We ended with the devastation during the night of Brahma at text 31. At the beginning of the devastation, all the seas overflow and hurricane winds blow very violently, thus the waves of the seas become ferocious. And in no time, all the three worlds are full of water. The Supreme Personality Godhead lies down in the water on the seat of Ananta and with his eyes closed. The inhabitants of Janaloka planets offer their glorious prayers to the Lord with folded hands. Thus the process of the exhaustion of the duration of life exists for every one of the living beings, including Lord Brahma. One's life endures for only 100 years in terms of the times in different planets. So we discussed all of that. Brahma on down, there's this sense of very relative sense of time, or varying sense of time, depending upon embodiment. And now this section is Brahma's time, and then the next section is eternal time, because it started with eternal time is in the background. Now it's going up, back up to eternal time. So text 34, there's this term prarardha that appears not just in this chapter, but in a number of places in the Bhagavatam. Prarardha is half of Brahma's life, so his life consists of two prarardhas. It's something like our day and night. So, it's not day and night, it's 50 years, 50 years. Because it's just the previous verse is life, it is for a duration of 100 years. relative to one's position, one's embodiment. So here's text 34. The 100 years of Brahma's life are divided into two parts, the first half and the second half. And he's just taken the Sanskrit here. Yad ardham ayushas tasya prarardham abhidiyate. The half a duration of his life is one prarardha. And then the other prarardha is what we're experiencing now. So, purport. The first half of the duration of Brahma's day is already over. Then the second half is now current. Purport. The duration of 100 years in the life of Brahma has already been discussed in many places in this work, and is described in Bhagavad Gita 8.17 also. 50 years of the life of Brahma are already over, and 50 years are yet to be completed. Then, for Brahma, also death is inevitable. Text 35. Now this is going to go into the different divisions of the two prarardhas. In the beginning of the first half of Brahma's life, there was a millennium called Brahma Kalpa. The line is different. Brahma Kalpa, not Brahma, wherein Lord Brahma appeared. The birth of the Vedas was simultaneous with Brahma's birth. Purport. According to Padma Purana, Prabhas Kanda, in 30 days of Brahma, many kalpas take place, such as the Varaha Kalpa and the Pitre Kalpa. 30 days makes 1 month of Brahma, beginning from the full moon to the disappearance of the moon. Now that phrase I don't understand, because there's several things in this I don't understand. That's one of them, because it's not our moon. We have, you know, the waxing and the waning moon, that's 1 month. But Brahma's 1 month isn't our waxing and waning of the moon. So perhaps there's a moon surrounding Brahmaloka? Doesn't say. But what it does say, according to Padma Purana, in 30 days of Brahma, many kalpas take place, such as Varaha Kalpa, Pitra Kalpa. 30 days makes 1 month of Brahma, beginning from the full moon to the disappearance of the moon. And that's just 15 days anyways. 12 such months complete 1 year. And 50 years complete one prarardha, or one half of the duration of the life of Brahma. The Shveta Varaha, appearance of the Lord, is in the first birthday of Brahma. Not to be confused with Shveta, the Rakta Varaha, there's two. The birth date of Brahma is in the month of March, according to the Hindu astronomical calculations. This statement is reproduced from the explanation of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Continuing, text 36. The millennium which followed the first Brahma millennium is known as the Padmakalpa, because in that millennium the universal flower grew out of the navel reservoir of water of the Personality of Godhead Hari. Purport, the millennium following the Brahma Kalpa is known as the Padma Kalpa, because the universal lotus grows in that millennium. The Padma Kalpa is also called the Pitri Kalpa in certain Puranas. That's another item that I don't understand with this, because Brahma appears on the lotus. So how do we have Brahma appearing and then following Brahma appearing into lotus appearing? And that's addressed in the next purport. Text 37. O descendant of Bharata, the first millennium of the second half of the life of Brahma is also known as the Varaha millennium, because the Personality of God had appeared in that millennium as the hog incarnation, as the Rakta Varaha, as opposed to the Shweta Varaha. Purport. The different millenniums known as Brahma, Padma, Varaha, Kalpas appear a little puzzling for the layman. And to complicate it more, there are some scholars who think that these kalpas to be one and the same. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, the Brahma Kalpa in the beginning of the first half appears to be the Padma Kalpa, another name for the same. We can, however, simply abide by the text and understand that the present millennium is in the second half of the duration of the life of Brahma. End of controversy. Text 38. The duration of the two parts of Brahma's life, as above mentioned, is calculated to be equal to one nimesha for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Fraction of a second, because nimesha was used before. Going back to the chart, somewhere there it is. One nimesha is 8/15 of a second. Almost half. No, a little more than half of a second. Fraction of a second. Of the three Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unchanging and unlimited, Brahma is changing and Brahma is limited, and is the cause of the universe, which Brahma gets the credit for being the creator, but the Lord is the cause of that. Purport. The great sage Maitreya has given a considerable description of the time in different dimensions, beginning from the atom up to the duration of the life of Brahma. Now he attempts to give some idea of the time of the unlimited Personality of Godhead. He just gives a hint of his unlimited time by the standard of the life of Brahma. The entire duration of the life of Brahma is calculated to be less than a second of the Lord's time, and it is explained in Brahma Samhita as follows. Yasyaika Nishvita Nishvita Yasyaika Nishvishita Kalamatavalam Yajivanti Loma Vilaja Jagadandanata Vishnur Mahan Sa Iha Yasya Kalavishesho Govinda Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Translation: I worship Govinda, the person, Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, whose plenary portion is Mahavishnu. All the heads of the innumerable universes, the Brahmas, live only by taking shelter of the time occupied by one of his breaths. Exhaling, inhaling, the universe is finished and Brahma is finished. All the universes have Brahmas and all the Brahmas are finished. The impersonalists do not believe in the form of the Lord, and thus they would hardly believe in the Lord sleeping. Their idea is obtained by a poor fund of knowledge. They calculate everything in terms of man's capacity. They think that this existence of the Supreme is just the opposite of active human existence. Because the human being has senses, the Supreme must be without sense perception. Because the human being has form, the Supreme must be formless. And because the human being sleeps, the Supreme must not sleep. Srimad Bhagavatam, however, does not agree with such impersonalists. It is clearly stated herein that the Supreme Lord rests in Yoga Nidra, as previously discussed. And because he sleeps, naturally he must breathe. And the Brahma Samhita confirms that within his breathing period, innumerable Brahmas take birth and die. Must have a quick breath. Because the span of Brahma's life is one dimesha, and that's 8/15 of a second. A fraction. Paragraph. There is complete agreement between Srimad Bhagavatam and the Brahma Samhita. Eternal time is... This is... Shatrupa, your questions about eternal time. Eternal time is never lost along with the life of Brahma. It continues. But it has no ability to control the Supreme Personality of Godhead because the Lord is the controller of time. In the spiritual world, there is undoubtedly time. But it has no control over activities. Time is unlimited, and the spiritual world is also unlimited, since everything there exists on the absolute plane. The last verse for this morning, text 39. Eternal time is certainly the controller of different dimensions, from that of the atom up to the super divisions of the duration of Brahma's life, but nevertheless, it, eternal time, is controlled by the Supreme. Time can control only those who are body conscious, even up to the Satyaloka or the other higher planets of the universe. So the subject matter changes after this text 39, so I'm going to stop reading from there. Just like headlines of things that we can understand from all of this. The Vedic wisdom is vast and precise. Everything that's created is being moved by time. Everything that's destroyed is being destroyed by time. And that time has different, the phrase that's being used here, different dimensions, or it acts differently in different spheres of existence or spheres of creation. Not just that the duration of life is greater or lesser, but the experience of time is different in different spheres. But the background of that is eternal time, and eternal time is present in the spiritual world, and eternal time is controlled by the Supreme Lord. It's one of his energies. He's never controlled by it. We don't know of any existence like that. Although we may think that we're on top of it. Everything's under control. Everything's under Krishna's control, and we're controlled by Krishna. But this is a advanced, sophisticated presentation of the message of Bhagavad Gita about material nature. Everything is being carried out by material nature, and material nature is being moved by time. So we can say correctly, Krishna is the director, Paramatma is the director of matter. But even Paramatma doesn't, you know, roll up his sleeves and get his hands dirty. He does everything through the agency of his energies, and his time energy is moving. Maya Jakshina Prakriti. And Prakriti is moving things, but time is moving things. Inexorable time, that which doesn't stop. By being connected, another concluding point of that Prabhupada is making in the purport is, as time doesn't act on the Supreme Lord, so one who's connected to the Supreme Lord, time doesn't act on them. It doesn't mean that bodies don't get old and die. Our bodies will get old and die. But the experience of time, the deathlessness of life, meaning recognition of our identity on the platform of the soul and our eternal relation with Krishna. If the body is there, fine. If the body falls away, fine. Because one thing that's unchanging is that connection with the Supreme Lord. Like this nice example from the first canto, that Narada speaks about giving up his body in his previous life as a young son of a Shudra, and he's grown, now he's in a mature stage. He just gives up his body, and the spiritual body manifests and continues engaging in spiritual activities. If we're conscious on the platform of the soul, spiritual form is present and spiritual form is acting. So the material body may be whatever its influence of temporal time, young like Prahlad, or old like Narada in the end of his life. And, you know, the phases of time, birth, death, disease, and old age, the problems of life can be solved by connecting with the timeless Supreme Lord through the medium of devotional service. For activities on this plane, we need time. For activities on the spiritual plane, we don't need time. Past, present, future, time. We don't need it, but the activities are eternal. It's on another plane, another realm. On this plane, we don't have something, we want something, so we do something to get something. Fruitive activity. And it takes time to get something. And then time takes that something away. It's child's play, and it's illusion. And in the spiritual plane, there's relationship with Krishna and Krishna's pleasure is Krishna's happiness. That's the focus, that's the attention, the consciousness of the soul in the spiritual condition. And it's not fruitive, it's a loving disposition, and time doesn't act the same way. The embodiment, Deha, it undergoes change by time. But consciousness doesn't need to be affected by that. Just as it's being said here, time can control only those who are body conscious, even up to Satyaloka and other higher planets of the universe. Time doesn't act on us in the same way as it does for those. Time doesn't act on one who is Krishna conscious in the same way that it acts upon those that are not or body conscious. And there's relative scales of all of that. So it's pointing to be Krishna conscious. Because otherwise, whatever knowledge you may have, or clever you may be, however, whatever you may be, pious, you know, intelligent, beautiful, powerful, time is going to crush the whole scene. So the real position of intelligence is taking shelter of the eternal personality of Godhead in His loving service. So here's these nice pictures again. There's the fire coming from the mouth of Ananta Shesh, the Lord lying on Ananta Shesh, the crashing of the waves. There's Lord Brahma and his little lotus flower. And then the back picture, little lotus stem, his flower, and then little Brahma looking at Lord Vishnu, like checking each other out. Any discussion?
Meaning for devotees, either in spiritual realm or in material realm, like time facilitates their activities of serving Krishna.
Yes. In the material realm, in eternal time, it doesn't seem appropriate, the language, to say that eternal time facilitates activities in the spiritual realm. Time facilitates activities in this realm, and devotees are very conscious to use time in Krishna's service. And in the spiritual realm, the play or the interaction of time with activity, it's just different. So,
meaning is it subservient?
Subservient?
For the acts of devotional service.
I don't know how to properly describe the action of time in the spiritual realm. Because as soon as I'm very comfortable with time is conspicuous by its absence, because as soon as we speak of time, we think of time as we know it. So how does eternal time work? And as soon as you describe it, you're thinking in terms of temporal time. So it's a spontaneous flow of living entities that simply love Krishna, Krishna giving them an opportunity of loving service. And time is conspicuous by its absence. Eternal time is there and is acting, but it's not as we think of activity here. You have something?
That means when
it's quite a warm up.
Leech.
Go ahead.
When we reach Krishna, then our time becomes more close to, you know, we feel close to zero. We don't need that.
My goodness. Each Krishna become close to zero. Is that what you said?
Yeah, if I
very close. Are you have an idea that there's multiple Krishnas?
No, I'm saying reach Krishna.
Huh? When we reach Krishna.
When we reach Krishna, we're getting close to Krishna. So you feel that your time is,
time, not we, but time becomes zero. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you feel
we don't become zero.
No, we don't become zero. Now we calculate, I live for one hour, 2 hours.
Yes.
But when you're getting close to Krishna, your time is infinite.
Somewhere between zero and infinite, yeah. We're on Krishna's time when we're with Krishna. And Krishna's time is eternal. Anything else?
I guess I just want to hear more about the sentence about how time can control all egos or body functions. My thoughts are going also to like the question that King Ravikana asks Jagpara, how he agrees with all that Jagpara said, but then he says, but as long as you're embodied, you know, you still experience the effects of the things that are happening to the body. So I'm trying to just understand, so is it just that our consciousness is not affected?
Yes.
But yet, you know, even the consciousness wants to do so much or enthusiastic and inspired to serve Krishna in so many ways, but the body still limits, like the time factor still acts on the body in that sense.
Everything except the middle part of what you said. Certainly the time is acting on the body, and the body ages, the body dwindles, the body expires. Time is acting on the body, but time is not acting on consciousness. That is to say, here's one, you've heard this before, that the Prabhupada saying, and it's visiting Los Angeles, I know that you're always talking about me, saying Swamiji is now in India and soon he's going to Japan and then he's going to go to Australia, then Hawaii, and soon he'll be here in Los Angeles, and you're hearing my activities in these places. But you should understand that factually I am with Krishna. So we can, you know, the body is doing something and the consciousness is with Krishna. So time may be acting, you know, to board the plane to get to the, from Hawaii to Los Angeles. So one is conscious of time in the embodied state and dealing with it, engaging it in Krishna's service. But consciousness is with Krishna. And that's not affected by time as we know it. And time as we know it creates circumstances. Like, you know, feeling what's going on with the body. Conscious of those circumstances, but not identifying with it. But identifying consciously with my eternal relationship in service to Krishna. Can control only those who are body conscious. Control in this sense, meaning, you know, control our experiences, but, you know, time, even for one who's fully Krishna conscious, the body grows old, the body gets diseased, and so on. Being able to, a devotee, as a devotee matures more and more, the devotee becomes able to move in the temporal realm and simultaneously be conscious of Krishna on the eternal realm. So, engaging in prescribed duty and always thinking of me, in simple language in Bhagavad Gita. And thinking of Krishna means to understand Krishna not like us, but as he is, and simultaneously, not absent-minded professor, where one, you know, isn't in touch with what's going on around one because they're on the mental, hovering on the mental plane somewhere, and absent-minded because the mind is somewhere else. But a Krishna conscious person isn't absent-minded. They're grounded, they're present, they're serving Krishna in this realm while their consciousness is with Krishna. That's Krishna consciousness.
I'm just thinking that, so it doesn't control in the sense that it cannot stop one's service to Krishna. Like thinking of the example of like Brahmana, Pratistha, or like Rupa Goswami, actual devotion.
Mm-hmm.
Like just uninterrupted service, like in the consciousness platform. In that sense, time produce certain events in that Brahmana's life, but yet his consciousness was uninterrupted in the sense of serving Krishna.
Well, another nice example is Dhruva Maharaj, when he was approaching the Vaikuntha Vimana, death personified came and wasn't controlled by death personified. He stepped on his head to get into the plane. Can't control. So by Krishna's sanction, events in the life of a devotee take place, but those events aren't due to the control of time in exactly the same way as a materialist that's due to the control of time. It's simply a function of their guna and karma, and it's being enacted through the agency of time. Maya jyakshina prakriti. Time still acts, but it acts in a different way for the devotee. Meaning, events and opportunities and situations and facilities and exams, tests of helping us to be, just like there's one passage where Prabhupada is explaining that situations that happen to a pure devotee like Brahma, where it looks like Brahma is falling prey to the illusory energy, we shouldn't understand it that way. We should understand that it's the Lord providing some opportunity for increasing the attachment to the Lord by that devotee. So time just acts in a different way. It may look to us like, hey, that's, I know what that one is. Here it is. If sometimes Brahma is seen to be bewildered, as in the 10th canto, he is bewildered by seeing the action of the internal potency, and that is also for his further advancement in transcendental service. Arjuna is found to be similarly bewildered. All such bewilderment of the pure devotees is specifically meant for their further advancement in knowledge of the Lord. Now that's devotees on the platform of Arjuna and Lord Brahma, and we're not on that platform, but still, because we're engaged in devotional service, according to our capacity, those events of life are being arranged to help us make further advancement in realization of Krishna. Further advancement in exclusive dependence upon Krishna. And that's another kindness of Krishna through the agency of his internal potency. Although those events, those circumstances can be bewildering at times. Anything else? Yes?
Guru Maharaj, then the
spiritual world also events happen, like.
You bet, events happen.
So it's almost similar to the way it happens for the in the life of devotees in the material realm, because they are not influenced by time as such as compared to the conditioned living entities.
Well, that's a relative statement, yeah. Because we're mixed. So it's some degree and some degree not. Lesser degree.
And the other question I had was with respect to Indradyumna Maharaj. When he went to Brahmaloka, Brahma said, like, so many yugas have passed in the earthly realm. So, but still his body did not age. So does it mean that his embodiment changed to a, like a higher spiritual so that is he was not influenced, even his body did not get
something like that. Is the living entity different
than the spiritual form they get?
The spiritual form
they get?
Get? Like
Krishna, there's no difference between Krishna and the body of Krishna, the mind of Krishna.
Okay.
So is the living entities and the spiritual form they have, is
that yes.
Form?
Yes. Yes. Meaning, if I've understood your question correctly, in the spiritual world, Krishna resides, and the body of Krishna and Krishna are non-different. In the spiritual world, there are living entities that have spiritual form, and the spiritual form and those living entities are similarly non-different. Is that your question?
Yeah. So,
is that a yes, or are you not sure?
can you
I'll do it again. In the spiritual realm, Krishna resides, and Krishna has spiritual form, and that spiritual form is not different than Krishna himself. There's no inside outside. It's form of Krishna is Krishna.
Similarly, living
entities in the spiritual world have spiritual form, and those spiritual forms of the living entities and the living entities are identical. That is to say, there's not a spiritual form, a living entity within that spiritual form. It's the spiritual form and the living entity are identical. Like with Krishna. If that's your question, the answer is yes. There's no embodiment of the soul within something in the spiritual realm. The soul and their spiritual form are identical.
One more question.
Yeah.
So, the Paramatma is in the heart of the soul here. So is that Paramatma still there in the earth, not there in the spiritual realm?
The Paramatma is an expansion of the Lord in the spiritual realm. So the Lord in the spiritual realm exists in the spiritual realm because the Lord is before one, in front of one. There's not a Paramatma within the heart of that soul in the spiritual world. Rather, when we leave the spiritual world, we wish to not see him. But he's very kind. He stays with us in such a way we cannot see him. He expands himself to enter into the heart as our dearmost friend. But we can't see him. And when we return to the spiritual, the Paramatma is for Vishnu Tattva, is the Vishnu forms, the Purusha forms, Mahavishnu, Garbha Daksha Vishnu, Shira Daksha Vishnu, are within this material realm. Their counterpart is in the spiritual realm, is Narayan of Vaikuntha and Krishna of Krishna Loka. They're present in that form from which Paramatma has expanded.
Okay.
All right? You're not sure?
Yeah.
Okay, you're sure. Yeah.
Guru Maharaj, I want to understand, every soul has certain capacity.
Every soul has different capacity?
Certain capacity. Given capacity. And soul has different capacities. This is the true statement. And I want to understand how will...
How do you mean that? Do we have different capacities?
Meaning...
Some people can dance and some people can sing. Is that what you mean?
Every individual has different capacities.
Are we speaking of the conditioned state or the liberated state?
conditioned state.
Certainly.
Does it mean that in the liberated state everything is same? All the souls have the same?
I'm just seeking clarification about your question. Let's do one at a time. The different capacities in this realm have to do with punya and papa, piety and sin. So one is restricted and someone else is endowed according to their piety, and then their piety, their embodiment, and with their embodiment, the capacity. I mean, like Prabhupada speaks about sideshows and circuses where a man learns to bark and people pay. Oh, there's a man that's barking. There's somebody barking. That's an acquired capacity to learn to bark. But it's not of the soul. So there's capacities that are endowments of the embodied living being due to guna and karma and so forth. Now, let's leave that one behind. Put pause button. Now we're going to go to the spiritual realm. Now, do different perfected souls have different capacities? Yes. The description is there of the gopis, for example, are expansions of Srimati Radharani, and Radharani has the she's the embodiment of all spiritual perfections, and her expansions are portions of those perfections. So some gopis are particularly endowed with the capacity to sing very beautifully. Some gopis are particularly endowed with language capacity. Some gopis are endowed with different abilities as expansions of the fullness of Srimati Radharani in a grand concert to bring pleasure to Krishna. Having nothing to do with guna and karma, but having everything to do with arrangements for pleasing Krishna, the variegatedness that makes enjoyment. Prabhupada would say, variety is the mother of enjoyment. So, the expansions from Krishna in the spiritual realm are filled with varieties of capacities. Your turn. Simply for one purpose.
So, how will the time affect, what is the effect of time in experiencing my full capacity? Say, in the conditioned state or in the spiritual state? Spiritual state you already explained just now, but in the conditioned state,
the conditioned state, we just use whatever we have. We don't need to make a big deal about it. I mean, I'm not saying you, this is Prabhupada's instruction. Whatever you have, you just use that in Krishna's service. And if Krishna wants, he'll decorate you with other capacities, your term, to serve him in other ways, in addition to ones that we now have. We're not passive. We're not like, you know, a ball of clay, and Krishna sticks things on us and we just like show the thing that Krishna sticks on the ball of clay. We want to actively serve Krishna. But we don't necessarily, let's say, you know, the instruction of Lakshmivan's teaching the children music. So it's a capacity that's innate, and if with the teacher it can be brought out and developed very nicely. If I see there's, you know, I would like to serve Krishna very nicely. So I see that there's very nice deity worship. So I'd like to learn how to do nice deity worship. I'd like to increase my capacity. And your question was specific about time, so you have to invest some time. Like, you know, the nice turbans. I happen to know that Prema Trangini learned how to make those nice turbans from someone who learned how to make nice turbans by serving the deities and the Brooklyn Temple. They learned those from Ramabhadra. So this is, you know, Ramabhadra Shakti here with nice turbans. But he also learned from, so there's investment of time in our devotional service to do that service nicely. And each of us has different capacity. Some persons can't sing for, you know, their life depended on it. But they sing anyways. Very loudly, in fact. But yeah, but that. Are we okay with? Yeah, okay. Yes.
Regarding Swarupa, like the Lord manifested a different form of from Shalagram to
I'm listening.
Radharaman.
Where are we going?
Yeah, so like that, the Swarupa, is it dynamic, like Krishna will be awarding according to the serving mood of the living entity? Or is it already?
Yes, it's already. Anything else? Yes.
Question, in continuation of my question yesterday, were simultaneous happening with us.
Okay, let's go.
Actually, I got that thought while reading about Acharyas and Prabhupada, and I feel some desire to see them directly, and then I also have this contradictory thought that this world is only one fourth. Here only I cannot see who I want to see, like whenever. When I go there, it's three fourth and it's big.
Oh boy. We have, you didn't meet Srila Prabhupada, but you have picture of Prabhupada, there's videos of Prabhupada, and so forth. It doesn't mean that in the spiritual world, he'll look as we see him in this photograph here. But the spiritual presence, not like, you know, oh, there's Prabhupada. But as an associate, or one that one can serve, that may very well be the case. But I still know the simultaneous thing I don't get. Like, you go like that. What's that?
I mean, because it's very, like, it's a huge place.
Yeah, it's a huge place.
I'm thinking if everyone wants to be in the association of
great personalities.
Yeah, and then how will it get, because you'll be in different places.
The Lord will make arrangements, don't worry. You don't have to buy a ticket and make a reservation. Okay. Wait. Someone else that didn't say something yet to speak.
A person getting knowledge and moving towards the spirituality and becoming more spiritual and getting close to Krishna, is that person's knowledge about the future happenings and the past happenings, his knowledge will increase?
Maybe.
Can he tell, okay,
maybe
he's going to meet?
Maybe not. Depends on what Krishna gives him. Different persons are endowed with different capacities. Some persons, just like Lord Chaitanya said to the Digvijay Pandit. The Digvijay Pandit was amazed. How have you? I was speaking these 100 verses in glorification of Ganga like the blowing wind, and how is it that you've been able to remember the word that I spoke so swiftly? Lord Chaitanya said, by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, some people can speak eloquently in Sanskrit and some persons can remember. Different endowments, different capacities. So, the answer to your question is maybe. Maybe not. And it's not even necessarily because one is more Krishna conscious, or using your phrase, closer to Krishna. That endowment can be given to someone who's less close to Krishna than a pure devotee who is very simple and isn't endowed in that way. Someone further from Krishna may be able to have that capacity. It's whatever Krishna gives that living entity.
But if the person very close to Krishna, so if he wants, can he?
It depends on what Krishna gives. We're dependent. That's nice. So whatever Krishna wants. He may want. Krishna may give or not give.
Okay.
And he's happy. If Krishna gives, he's happy. If Krishna doesn't give. If it's just like this curiosity thing, oh, I wonder what that toy is like. That's not pure devotion. So Krishna may give that. He may not give that. But the pure devotee isn't thinking in those terms.
Yeah.
Whatever Krishna wants. Let me just accept that and serve him. There may be some particular desire for service to Krishna in a particular way. That's certainly appropriate.
Thank you.